When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Back, busy afternoon on this Friday. We thought we'd have a little fun. It's been a serious week, a lot of news making the rounds. So we want to introduce the one and only Michael Bratton back to the program from the SEC podcast. Brat, what in the world have you been doing? What's going on?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. And yeah, maybe the off season, but as long as Alabama's losing assistant coaches seemingly every week, you know, I got a lot to talk about over here, Paul, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, I don't want to act like I don't pay attention, but sometimes you get distracted. But then I hear from my Alabama friends, What's up with Brad? Why does he hate us so much? So let's first of all talk about what you've said about Alabama recently before we go in for the kill.
Right. Well, I got to be honest with you, Paul. I was jumping on the bandwagon. I like the hire of Kalen DeBoer. I thought, you know, just looking at his resume, talking to people in the coaching industry, this is top five coach in all of college football. There's nothing on his resume that doesn't say he's an excellent football coach. So given, I realize they've lost some players, but still, what he has, he's got a top 10 roster. I thought Alabama, they're going to be fine, national championship contender. But the fact that he's lost his offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, but he tried to hire a linebackers coach at the 11th hour, went to Tennessee. I mean, this does not speak of a coach that is in full command down there in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, we can't write him off before the first spring practice or anything, Paul, but I'm beginning to waver on my confidence on what Kalen DeBoer will do down there at Alabama.
Yeah, and, you know, some Alabama fans, as I'm sure you know, push back and say, well, DeBoer's the offensive genius. True or not, Ryan Grubb's been part of this system for a very long time, and the offensive line coach put together one of the best offensive lines in the country. So while you were high, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were always high, but I'm talking about on the Crimson Tide, where are you now?
Well, I still think they're going to be very good, Paul. And I've said this before. I've said it on Jocks Network here about a week or two ago. I think Kalen DeBoer will probably win a national championship in the first two or three seasons that he's down there at Alabama. But if he doesn't, Paul, I think he's going to be gone. So it's going to be boom or bust for me because with the talent he's inherited, again, with his resume, I think this is a lethal combination. But the future of Alabama, he's not going to be able to recruit to the level Nick Saban did. They don't get that Saban bump now in the NIL world. So I'm not feeling optimistic about the future of Alabama. But for now, I think Alabama is in position to win big.
So what would you say the first season looks like?
I mean, he's got to go at least 10-2, 11-1, I think, to kind of calm the waters. If he goes 8-4, I don't think he makes year three. I don't even know if he makes year two at 8-4, Paul. So surely they won't pull the plug that quickly. But
now, Michael, I don't want to go Mike Griffith on you here, but but I mean, are you serious?
With the talent he's got, Paul, I mean, who's going to beat him? I think Georgia. I mean, that's fair to say maybe Georgia can beat him, but that game is in Tuscaloosa. At Tennessee, are Alabama fans worried about Josh Heupel in Tennessee? Of course, they did lose last time they went to Neyland Stadium, but I think they would say no. LSU, it is at LSU. Aside from those games, what games is Alabama going to lose? And, you know, these are the games that Alabama fans expect to win. So, no, I think he should be winning 10, 11 games right out the gate. He said it the other day. We nearly won the national championship at Washington. We nearly won the national championship here in Tuscaloosa. Let's join forces. Let's do it. Well, talk is cheap. Put it on the field. You got to win 10 or 11 games for me, I think.
Now, I don't really understand that. And I don't want to act like I've never been there before, okay? I spent most of my life watching Alabama football from very close range, but I don't really understand in the world. We had Hayes on the other day, said the very same thing, obviously listening to your podcast, but why in the age of the playoff, which we're now in, the 12-team playoff, why do you have to go 11-1?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows what it's going to look like, Paul, and that's why I'm so fascinated by this upcoming season with a 12-team model, with no divisions in the SEC, with Oklahoma and Texas coming into this conference. So there's just so many variables, so many unknowns, but I think you got to win that 11-10 games because we just don't know at this point in time how many SEC teams are realistically going to be there, but I mean, we're all optimistic in the offseason, right, Paul? I mean, there's about seven SEC teams that think they're going to win 10 games, even though that's not going to happen. That's where everybody thinks they're going to be. But if you win nine, I think you're putting yourself in a position to not make it. And I think even 10-2, depending on who those two losses are to, you may not make the cut in a 12-team model.
So if you had to guess right now in the SEC, are you going with Georgia, Texas, Alabama? Who is it?
I think I don't necessarily get the Texas hype. I get it. They won the Big 12. That's kind of like the junior league. Let's see what they do in a real league. And I know people mock the schedule they have. They still got to play Georgia, got to go to A&M. I'm not ready to say Texas is going to be in the playoff. Now, happy to be proven wrong. I'm not a big believer in Steve Sarkisian as an elite coach. But certainly Georgia is going to be in that mix. I think Missouri, given their schedule, I think they're going to make a playoff run. Ole Miss, they should be there. That final spot, I think it comes down to Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, one of those three. And I don't know that the SEC gets more than four if they even get that fourth.
Mike, hold on for just a second because I want to get your reaction to some breaking news right now. As we asked Topmeyer this, and we had not heard, but we have heard now, and this is a major story. You need to pay attention because the NCAA, as we know it, may be done. The judge in East Tennessee has granted a preliminary injunction suspending NCAA rules regarding name, image, and likeness benefits for athletes and indirectly easing the stress on the University of Alabama. This is according to Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, who has been covering it as a major victory. Of course, it will be appealed, but it is still a major victory for the attorney generals in Tennessee and Virginia. This is a ruling by Eastern District Judge Clifton Corker, who found the NIL rules caused irreparable damage to athletes. Michael, we have been waiting for this for some time now. This has been a case that has been going back and forth. You tell me, but it seems like this will now be appealed. It may very well go all the way up to the Supreme Court, but this is a death blow, is it not, to the NCAA?
Yeah, I don't know much about Judge Corker, Paul, but he seems like an outstanding man in my opinion. So, yeah, what is the NCAA, like 0 for 100 in their last big court cases? This was inevitable, I thought. And I mean, how are you going to punish people for things that weren't against the rules at the time they did it? And yeah, just another death knell for the NCAA. I thought it was hilarious. They took the NCAA name off the college football video game because we all know it. By the time that game comes out in July, the NCAA may no longer be in existence. So this to me was expected. Everyone's bending or breaking the rules, however you want to say it, in NIL. But this is just the latest in a long line of defeats by the NCAA, and I thought it was foolish of them to come after Tennessee in the fashion they did and how strong not only everyone associated with Tennessee but local and state government came at the NCAA. You just knew that they were going to fall down like they're not a house of bricks, Paul. They're just mud and sticks at this point in time.
Yeah, I was somewhere this week where a lot of the top people from the NCAA enforcement division were. They were having a meeting at the same place I was at. And Michael, they're all well-meaning people, but they're living in a different decade. And this ruling is just going to open the floodgates. And listen, this will spend considerable time in the court system, but it is interesting because Donde Plowman took a chance when she made that trip down to the courthouse, but it looks like it's paying off.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, they let the NCAA, they opened the door for them last time when they wanted Pruitt gone. They didn't want to pay him. That was a genius move. They've done a complete 180 this time around, and I think it was the right move again because I think Tennessee possibly would have got hit with the repeat offender clause, so to speak. So, yeah, I love to see this. I don't think the NCAA's got any purpose in college football. I have no idea what in the world they're doing with these archaic rules. And I, for one, will be happy, Paul, when they're no longer nosing their business into SEC football.
Hey, by the way, Michael, before you go, I looked as that story was breaking and you were talking about Alabama. He's already run off. He was apparently afraid. I looked down at the caller board, and do you have any idea who showed up who wanted to take you on?
Probably my friend Larry.
Larry from Shelby was on the call, and I literally, they were telling me the story was breaking, so I couldn't go to him. And by the time I looked down, naturally, Larry ran away, but it was too bad.
DeBoer's lost Larry, Paul. I mean, he's losing everybody down there.
I'm really interested because we'll get back to the Tennessee case in a few minutes, and we have Adam Sparks coming on later. But this whole Nick Saban dichotomy, Saban shows up Saturday at the basketball game. I mean, it's just like a run-of-the-mill Saturday game. I mean, everybody's going crazy. And then he has his dinner on Monday night, and he once again is the center of attention. And, I mean, I don't know what you think, but every time, I mean, this idea that Nick Saban is going to be an advisor, I think, doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because he's just going to suck the oxygen and the interest and everything out of the room.
Right. Maybe they can Zoom from his million-dollar mansion there on the water from Florida during camp to help out. But I just don't know how helpful that will be, Paul. And you know, that is something that's not being discussed enough, but all the elite players that he did bring in there on the defensive side of the ball, now they're going to be playing under a completely different system. They ruined the chance to retain T-Rob. That maybe could have alleviated some of those concerns, but this could be a new era. I think it's going to be, you know, kind of what we see at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin, Tennessee under Josh Heupel, high scoring, poor defense. I don't know how fired up Alabama fans will be for that. Kirby Smart obviously going a different direction.
I hate to interrupt, Michael. We have another breaking story here. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, baby.
You're on with the Brat.
What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's up, Brat?
How's it going?
Hey, doing good, man. I went through that 100. I need some more money, man. Come on, talk some trash now. Let's talk it now. What you on bet? Come on, baby. I still ain't got my beer, but I know you can't mail that. We need to get together one
Larry,
day.
Larry, he just said a minute ago that he thought the Alabama situation, that they conceivably could get rid of DeBoer after 1 year. I don't believe that.
The Alabama fans wouldn't get fired up. What you talking about, man? Fired up. They's firing my ass right now. Woo! I'm ready to do it, man. I tell you what, boy, you just misjudged. We some badass fans. We the baddest fans on the planet, Jack. I mean, Mars would be scared of us. We are the baddest. You talking that trash about all that, man? Come on, put some money up, baby. Put some money up. 100 again? You want your 100 back?
Absolutely. What are we betting? Like? How about 100 bucks? Georgia beats Alabama in Tuscaloosa by 10 points.
Yeah, let's do 200. Hell, boy, you got it. I see you bought your new shirt. Hell, you must have got some money from somewhere. Did.
Larry, I may join this conversation. I may join Brad on this bet.
Jack, you're going to be suckered in because, listen, we in the foxhole, baby. We ready. I can't hear you. You're scared to talk.
Hey, Brad, before you, you got this guy, Cousin Vinny, whatever his name is, that you do the show
Cousin
with.
Shane.
Cousin Shane. Why don't you fire him and hire Larry? Don't you think it would be a better deal?
I'm considering it. I mean, he's more accurate on his predictions
be
than I am.
Anything he got on his show.
What do you think? Because one of our callers yesterday,
Jump up out of cornfield.
Hey, Larry.
Yeehaw!
Larry, I'm trying to get you a good deal here. Be quiet.
Okay, buddy.
Somebody accused us of paying callers, which we don't. But what would be a good salary for Larry to do this show with you?
How about a 6-pack per episode?
I'll take over the show. I'm sorry, Brett. I will take it. They would be fine your ass. They'd be running you down the road with a cane. Whoop, get out of here, boy. We got somebody now.
Okay, Larry. Hey, listen, Larry, we have to get back to regular.
Where you been, Larry?
Larry, we have to get back to regular programming, but thanks for calling, Brad.
I get seen again, Brad. Come on with that cheese, baby. Rat needs some. Whoa. We love you, man. You're a good guy to take all this crap.
I appreciate you, Larry.
Hey, Brad, seriously, where else, what other shows can you go on where you get treated like that?
I mean, this is by far the only one that I can experience something like this, so I do appreciate it.
Michael Bratton, thank you. We'll see you soon. Michael Bratton from that SEC podcast. More on the breaking news of the day, which is significant. I mean, we were having fun there, but this is as big a blow to the NCAA as they have felt maybe in the enforcement department's history. We'll take a short break. We are back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back as we continue here, and let's... get some more calls after and some more reaction to that big ruling in Tennessee in a few minutes. So let's check in with Frank in Georgia. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Well, yeah, I was kind of shocked that Eli Gold is leaving, and I wanted to call and pay a little bit of a tribute to him because he was always amazing, very iconic, similar, you know, in the same way to you know, not as good as Larry Munson, but he was on up there, and I just want to do a little impersonation of Eli Gold, and sure. Just maybe later you can tell me where Eli Gold is from, because he definitely doesn't sound like he's from Bessemer.
He grew up in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay, I got you. That makes sense. Here we go. I'm going to do a little bit of Eli Gold here. Here we go. All right. Tell me, he looks right. That's what I got, Paul.
Thank you, Frank, and get some water because you're going to need it. Bobby is up next. Hello, Bobby. Good afternoon.
Mr. Feinbaum, I would like to be one of your frequent callers living up here in the northernmost southern state of our great union.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your expertise, and I wanted to tell you that I love the SEC. I'm not an individual fan. I'm just a fan of the SEC, but I've been doing some research, and I'd like to professionally banter with you.
Well, please.
One would be, I am appalled at the fact that the scheduling is showing that your great school of Alabama is not playing the great school of Mississippi. Number two, where in the world is Mercer? And number two, why are we playing Western Kentucky? If we are the best, and you have said it many times, and I have proof that you have said it, that the SEC, and I agree, is the best football conference, why are we playing What's the Matter You?
Well,
instead of playing Mississippi, we're playing a school that has come into the conference.
Bobby, let me explain. Thank you for the call. The SEC had to come up with a temporary schedule because it has eight games, and there was some conversation that it would go to nine. There was already a schedule ready. The goal was to make it very heady, and really the premier game that was decided on was Alabama-Georgia. To do that, and also to make sure everyone in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma played either one, home or away, they had to do some adjusting, and they did. And to get where they needed to be to make it balanced, they had to lose some games that we are used to seeing, like Alabama and Ole Miss, like others. So that's how they ended up with the schedule. It is a two-year schedule. That is all it is. And it will be repopulated in 2 years after that. We have some breaking news, as we've said. The judge has granted an injunction in the Tennessee versus the NCAA case. What does it mean? It means, at least for the time being, that the NCAA has no jurisdiction over NIL. They, of course, will appeal. It will be up to a judge to determine exactly how that goes. But for now, it is free and open, and Tennessee has won the most critical first round in this battle. It will continue for many, many months, if not years. Amanda Krstovich from Front Office will join us next with her analysis.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back on a very busy day where news is breaking. This is from Austin Price from the ruling in Knoxville. Without the give and take of a free market, student-athletes simply, this is from the judge, Judge Corker, without the give and take of a free market, student-athletes simply have no knowledge of their true NIL value. It is this suppression of negotiating leverage and the consequential lack of knowledge that harms student-athletes. Judge Corker, by the way, this is not really a surprise, considering Corker in his original decision, in his original response to a request, did not telegraph his move here. This is going to be appealed at some point. However, in the interim, this is shooting down or striking down what the NCAA is currently and poorly trying to enforce. Amanda Krstovich from Front Office, who has been on the front line of this since the beginning. Amanda, thanks for the time. This is breaking news. I realize a lot of people like you have not had a chance to do a lot of digestion and reporting, but hello, thank you for joining us, and we are eagerly awaiting your reaction.
Well, you so much for having me. And you got me before my story has even been published. It's going through the editing process now, but I will tell you what my immediate reaction to this is. As you said, the ruling will probably be appealed. I just confirmed with some amazing sports lawyers who always call me back immediately that in Tennessee, an appeal process generally is possible. But what jumps out to me is, like, pay for play is on. This is, if you are in a state that does not have a state NIL law prohibiting NIL deals being used as inducements, go right ahead and use them as inducements until further notice. That's essentially what this ruling is saying.
And Amanda, it is significant because we both know the NCAA is in another, forget time zone, another stone age, frankly, when it comes to to dealing with this, based on what we talked about the last time with Charlie Baker. I realize you're just trying to piece all this together, and we'll talk to some sports attorneys later as the evening goes on, but what can the NCAA do now, if anything, other than just go to court and try to delay and delay?
Yeah, I mean, they can appeal. Look, what they did with the last case that was similar to this a few months ago over transfer restrictions, if you remember that, they sort of, like, threw up their hands, and they didn't even wait for a preliminary injunction saying that they wouldn't be able to enforce transfer restrictions. They just agreed that for the rest of the season, you know, they would let any athlete transfer at any point for any reason, and that they would assess, you know, the rest of the seasons going forward. They would probably, you know, wait to see if that case went to trial, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they could do that here, at least to provide some clarity for the athletes and the schools. But, I mean, this is, again, this is their worst nightmare, right? This is allowing pay for play. So I don't see why they would want to do that. I don't see how they could do that. But what I do know and what I assume, and it's already been happening, is that if you're a state legislature, state legislator, and you're looking at this decision right now, and you find yourself in a state that has an NIL law prohibiting pay for play, you better get that law off the books immediately, like now, like yesterday, because the lack of transfer restrictions coupled with this lack of NIL restrictions means that the state by state recruiting is just going to be, I think, you know, the competition is going to be at a level we've never seen in terms of, you know, parity is going to be out the window, and it's not for the haves and the have-nots. It's for what state you're in and what the rules are.
Talking to Amanda Krstovich about this really, really monumental ruling, it literally just happened. We've been waiting for it for a couple of weeks. Amanda, I realize we haven't heard from the NCAA yet, and there are a lot of court cases going on, and we always hear the same, we will appeal. It doesn't mean very much other than that's your constitutional right. But I'm trying to ask you to do something that won't be easy, but knowing these people, you spent enough time lingering around courtrooms outside. What do you think they're going to say and attempt to do?
Long pause. I think this is just my pure speculation. I don't think that the folks at the NCAA, particularly under this new regime of Charlie Baker, are as pie in the sky and ignorant as perhaps previous groups were. I think they recognize that this is an inevitability. I think their strategy continues to be, and Charlie Baker said this, they're going to take this ruling to Congress, and they're going to bang down. This is going to be their five-alarm fire. You know, stop dealing with the war in Ukraine, stop dealing with the war in Gaza, and fix college sports for us right now, because look at what's happening with our, you know, NIL restrictions. I mean, I literally think that that's what they're going to be doing, at least behind the scenes. But, you know, I think Charlie Baker's proposal, and you and I have talked about this before, he admitted in that proposal that players need more compensation. So I think he understands, and again, I'm not in his head, it seems like he understands that this is where things are going. He's just trying to drag along a lot of the people who still refuse to accept it. And what I mean by that is, like, the NCAA national office isn't the only group to blame for the reason that we are where we are in college sports. You know, there were a lot of college administrators at the university level who were criticizing his proposal, saying it was too radical. So the NCAA has to contend with the membership, some of whom are mad at it for not doing enough, and some of it, some are mad that they are doing too much. And if I could point out one more thing before I forget, because I saw this at the bottom of the page 13 of this 13-page ruling, the ruling also prohibits the NCAA from using or from enforcing its rule of restitution, which is a pretty wild rule that basically says that if a court makes a ruling about an NCAA rule and then a player follows the court ruling and then that court ruling is overturned, the NCAA can retroactively punish the player. Court says NCAA can't do that. So I just wanted to point that out because that was a big question about the transfers, is if a ruling was overturned, would an athlete who chose to play and then was deemed ineligible, would they lose a year of eligibility? So this judge clearly is making sure that the NCAA has no enforcement power whatsoever.
Amanda, I realize you're the guest and I'm just a talk show host, but I'm going to try to answer your question a minute ago because you said something very interesting. If you had gone to Congress yesterday or maybe a couple of months ago, the chance of let's use Tennessee as our guinea pig here. It would be very likely that the Tennessee legislators in Congress and in the Senate would more than likely be on the side of the institutions in trying to curtail NIL money in terms of an NIL bill that would keep things within a certain limitation. But after what happened in Tennessee, if you're a representative in Knoxville or a senator there, you're going to go with the students now. So I think this has almost killed the idea of Congress enacting something, because this is not a five-alarm fire. There's nothing more important to a politician than its constituency. And we are seeing in Tennessee and elsewhere, the constituencies don't really care anymore. They're not that excited about putting restrictions on students. They're okay with this free market system. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's just how I read it based on what I've seen in Knoxville.
You know, I don't disagree with you. And we're just going to get political here, right? Because then the other thing I'm thinking about is there, and I believe I've seen some polls about this, about a demographic divide with age group. So, you know, I do wonder, like, if the federal legislators, if they're looking at saving college sports, especially the ones in the red states who have, you know, signed on to really restrictive legislation over NIL, I wonder if they are vying for a certain demographic in their states that may, you know, be spoon-fed this narrative that NIL is going to kill college sports and believing it, versus maybe a younger generation, right, or a generation of 18-year-olds, of players, right? So I don't know. I think it just comes down to who they think is going to vote, maybe. I don't know.
Well, but
I think
the problem is that where the red states are would have been more the most likely. And I know there's some contradictory evidence, but you would have expected blue states to be more in favor of player rights than. But now I don't think it's good politics to try to restrict the earnings of an athlete, which in essence makes your state university more challenged in trying to go out and get them, in spite of what all these coaches say. I don't think anyone's really listening to Nick Saban or anyone else for that matter. I mean, it's this judge just did the dirty work for everyone.
Absolutely. And the only other thing, not the only, I have about 5 million things that I want to say, but the other thing is, like, this is immediate, right? Like, this is happening. This is going to happen, like, right now, whereas some of the other cases that we've talked about of other judges, as you said, doing the dirty work, you know, Dartmouth men's basketball players being called employees, being allowed to unionize, there are other federal cases. Like, those are kind of grinding through, right? I'm going to Dartmouth in 2 weeks to see their union election. But like this, a preliminary injunction, this happens right now. So that's why I was saying, like, maybe the NCAA will go to Congress and call it a five-alarm fire. But I think you're right. I mean, if you're ultimately looking at your local constituency, you know, and then maybe there's a state versus federal legislator divide. I don't know, because the state legislators have, as you know, really, like, cut down on these restrictions. They've been rolling back their NIL laws since, like, 2022. So, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think.
Well, Amanda, I've seen state elections. I lived in Alabama when this happened. There was a guy running for governor, and he was somewhat joking, but he was somewhat serious because he was an Auburn man and his father played at Auburn. He made some reference that Nick Saban makes too much money, and you know he ought to be fired or whatever it was. We were able to make a big deal about it because we're a talk show, not a serious political outlet, and the guy missed the runoff. He was the favorite. This guy literally lost the election based on the stupid comment about Nick Saban, whatever it was. It's been 12 years. That can happen in a place like Knoxville, where University of Tennessee football is more important than identity politics, as well as all the other places. So I don't mean to inject a political mindset, because I don't think we really know for sure, but we are in, as they say, uncharted territory as of this hour.
Absolutely. And I just want to add on that, because I think you're so right. Remember when Donald Trump tried to say that he had single-handedly brought the Big
right.
Ten football
right.
season back during COVID? Right. Like, there's a reason he said that. It was because, you know, there are swing states in the Big Ten, and he was hoping that that would move the needle for him. And, you know, as you said, there's evidence that it could, maybe. So I think that I think if you're a local constituency, you're going to be looking really closely at what your legislators are saying about this ruling and saying about the future of college sports, because every lawmaker wants to claim they know how to fix it because they all think that's going to help them get reelected, right? So whereas over the last year or two, maybe people, their eyes were glazing over when, you know, they're reading my articles about all these random federal bills coming out, you know, maybe they're going to start paying closer attention.
Well, Amanda, by the way, good news for you. Your story was just posted on Front Office Sports.
So breaking news. My story about the breaking news was posted.
We want to be good citizens here and make sure everybody knows that. Thanks so much for coming on. I realize it's a breaking story and you have more reporting to do, but we always enjoy having you on.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Amanda Krstovich on the breaking news at this hour that the Tennessee case against the NCAA got a thumbs up from a federal judge in East Tennessee. It will be appealed. We have naturally not heard anything from the NCAA because I think they usually take Fridays off in their new 20-hour, two-day-a-week schedule. We'll take a short break right after this. We're back after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Brandon Marcello, top of the hour, as we continue to unpack the case in Tennessee. Other things are going on. And let's get back to Bill in Florida. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Hey, Coach Paul.
Thank you for calling.
I want to talk about the college game day.
Yeah, sure.
My wife, we were looking at the game day show last year, and wife said, "Who's that guy with a black T-shirt on, black tank top, and his arms up, and all his
That's Pat McAfee. Here?"
And did you realize you caused a wardrobe change after that?
No. What happened?
You were the instigator. Yeah. Well, he was always wearing that black tank top. He had no sport coat on. I said, he looks very unprofessional. And then about 2 weeks later, they made him start wearing a sport coat after you made a statement on your show.
That is funny. I'm sure Pat's bosses really probably don't even know I exist.
Well, somebody noticed. I'm sure I'm not the only person. I heard his ratings are way down anyway. I was looking him up, and
well,
he was a wrestler.
Yeah,
he
is very popular among certain demos.
Right. Well, he needs to put a beanie on and be part of the Gen Z crowd, I guess. But
I think that's pretty. I think that's old for his demo. Gen Z.
Yeah, he's a little older. You got to be up to 26 on Gen
Z.
But
I didn't know why I missed that. That's funny.
So anyway,
So you'll have Saban, who will be 70 whatever, 73 by then. You'll have Corso, who's 89. He'll be 89. So McAfee's, they got to get some young demos on that show. I mean, Herb Street's close to 60. So
well, I was going to suggest to him, put in a suggestion box. They need to get a change it every couple of weeks. Charles Barkley on. He's funny as hell, and he's just as controversial.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.